This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. As the sun slowly rises around 7 a.m., rowers from Kuala Lumpur Rowing Club has already gathered at the lake in Putrajaya, ready to hit the water. Rowing requires dedication and discipline, and waking up early in the morning is just the tip of the iceberg. Apart from opening its doors to like-minded enthusiasts, KL Rowing Club also has the ambition to make what some perceive as an elite sport and activity more accessible to the masses. How do they plan to do so, especially when familiarity with the sport is not that high beyond surface level? To find out more about the sport, I spoke to the president of KL Rowing Club, Zamir Zulkifli.
My name is Zamir Zulkifli. I'm the president of KL Rowing Club, and I'm also a rower.
How long have you been rowing?
I've been rowing since 2015, when I picked it up in the UK. When I was studying in the UK, I decided to try something new, and I picked up rowing and just never let go.
What made you want to like stick with it?
So when I started it, so I was in Cambridge, rowing was a big thing there. So, you know, I just wanted to try something very Cambridge. But I know a lot of people, you know, dropped it when they leave Cambridge. But for me, it's just the fact that it's, you know, you can work together as a team. But you also have the opportunity to, you know, push yourself, because there are different kinds of boat, so you can kind of like go in the bigger boats and have some of that team spirit. Or you can go to a smaller boat and, you know, try to work on your skill. And I think it's just the mechanical aspect. So, you know, you try to perfect yourself. So that's just, you know, for me, a lot of things come together that just, you know, for me, it's just a good thing, a good sport to do.
Zamir had the intention to immediately continue rowing when he came back, but he initially struggled to find people who share the same passion here.
So there was nothing for 6 months. I took a break for 6 months, and then the Oxbridge Society was having a race in Malaysia, so we invited Oxbridge Singapore to come to Malaysia, and that's where I met a lot of the people. So we had the race, we lost, you know, next time we'll do better. So that's where I met a lot of people, and I talked to them, and I talked to the coaches, and I was like, oh, can I just row? And because I've rowed before, you know, they had no issue with me rowing, using the boats and rowing. It was definitely hard trying to find the right people. So that was how it got started. We just, you know, started doing an ad hoc approach. So that was for 1 year. And then the coach put us in touch with other people that were doing ad hoc. And we met together, and then we decided, you know what, that's enough of us. Why don't we start a formal organization and make it formalized and that kind of thing. So,
and that's when KL Rowing Club started, right?
KL Rowing Club, yes. That's how we started the KL Rowing Club. We decided, you know what, let's because what we were facing was people come and then they go. There was nothing to tie them to keep rowing. And in the UK, it's definitely by club system. So you join a club, that's how you start rowing. So we decided, you know what, let's, and then it was from Putrajaya Rowing Association, they suggested that we start a club, so we did, so yeah.
Okay, so rowing is a sport, right? I mean, can you row casually? Is there such a thing?
It is a sport, you can row casually, so I like to think of myself as a casual rower until there's a race, and then I actually do practice a lot more. But you can be a casual rower once you get to a point where you're good enough to jump in and out of boat whenever you like. So that's the challenge with rowing. You need to get a certain level of sophistication where then you can become a casual rower. If you don't know how to row, you show up 1 week, and then, you know, a month later you show up, you will forget everything that you learned that week. So you need to have that consistent issue.
And in order for you to start rowing, you of course need to be physically fit, I guess, right?
No, you don't. It depends. Like if you're trying to do a race, then you do need to be somewhat, you know, but we can train you to get to that point. We have people that have never rowed before, that now we have a system to train them. But you need to be able to, I think with any physical activity, you need to know what the doctor allows. So you can't just jump in the boat and try to do a race the next week, because that will kill you. It will kill me. But you can definitely like go for paddle. You know, low rate, easy pace, and then hopefully build your physical level up to a point where you can participate in a race.
And it's an endurance sport, right? Meaning that you need to also be prepared mentally.
It depends on the race. So I did a race in Moa. It was 21 kilometer, No, it was 7 kilometers. What am I talking about? 7 kilometers, but I did 3 times over 2 days. So we were losing skin on our hand. But there are also shorter races. I think the upcoming Putrajaya Water Festival is only 500 meters. But then it also means that you go from 0 to 100 in 1 second. If it's a longer race, you go 0 to 100, you know, maybe you take 100 meters to do that. You do it over 2 or 3 seconds. So it's less endurance. It depends on what distance you're doing.
But yeah. Whatever it is, mental preparation is something important.
Well, you know, I think everything you have to be mental preparation. It depends, I guess, when you do rowing, it depends on the boat. If you're with a group of people, if you're with the bigger boats, you have 7 other people, 8 other people on the boat, it's less of a mental issue. When you're a single boat, when you're the only one there, it is more mentally taxing because you can't hide behind people. Whatever mistakes you make is on you. So,
Speaking of the different types of boats, there are different types of rowing as well, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you walk me through the different types?
So there are 2 main types of rowing. So one is sculling, where you have oars on both your hands. You're holding 2 oars, in one in each hand. So that's sculling. And there's sweeping, where you only hold an oar, one oar with both hands. So the difference between sculling and sweeping is, sweeping, you depend on the other person, so there'll be a pair. So you hold on one side and the other person hold one side, so you depend on the other person to kind of balance the boat. Sculling, you can balance the boat yourself, but it is slightly more, because both hands are moving and doing the same thing, it's slightly more, you know, difficult. You need to have more coordination than sweeping. I like to say sweeping, you know, you can put more power. Sculling, you have to think about putting more power.
You have to think slightly more.
You can't just go crazy from 0 to 100. This is why, you know, you see all the big guys in the big boats, because they do sweeps, because you can put more power. But it's still a lot of technique that you have to do, regardless of what kind of rowing you do.
Mm.
And that's the type of rowing, but then also the boats. There are smaller boats and there are bigger boats. So, you know, for sweeping, it's typically the bigger boats. For sculling, it's typically the smaller boats, but there are big sweep boats, sculling boats as well. So,
And I guess for sweeping, it becomes more of a team sport. But having said that, I think teamwork is also important in sculling as well, right?
Yes. So if you're in a boat with one other person, it's definitely teamwork, because you can feel what they're doing. Usually you get annoyed with what they're doing because they're like, you're doing it wrong. Because this, you have to have that coordination between the two of you. For the double, the bigger, you need coordination for the team.
So what are the characteristics of a good rower?
So if any of you have tried the rowing machine in the gym, what people tend to do is they get very tired very quickly. So that's the lactic acid building in your body. So one aspect is trying to get pushed past that lactic acid. So that's one aspect, the fitness that you have. Because it's not using just purely your legs, it builds lactic acid in your body very quickly. So that's one aspect from the fitness aspect. The other aspect is your technique. So you can be very good, you can have all the power, but you need to be able to transfer that power to the water. Right, so you can be very good, you can be very big, but if you cannot transfer it, then, you know, it's useless. So it's both fitness and also technique that you need to have to be a good rower. When we train, again, it depends on the race. If you're doing, so the Olympic is 2K, so it's a mix of power and also endurance. So we do a mix of endurance. Sometimes I've spent an hour on the rowing machine, but some days I just spend 10 minutes and just do very, very, you know, accelerated pace just to be able to put the power.
You mentioned technique a lot.
Yes.
So is there one specific technique that is like probably followed by a lot of rowers? Or is there like a lot of different techniques? It's just a matter of you trying to apply a technique that is suitable for your team, for your partner, for your, like, even for your physical condition and things like that?
There is a basic technique, obviously. So I sometimes see people on the rowing machine, I was like, you're not a rower. So I think that the basic technique is separation. So we separate the leg movement, the body movement, and the arms movement. And when you get in the boat, you see why people do that. But other than that, the minor differences, it really depends. It depends where you rowed. So Cambridge and Oxford has different technique. So when I went to other boat clubs, even within Cambridge, there's like different minor techniques. They're like, what are you doing? So there are different techniques, and you can definitely change it based on, you know, the person. So if you have, you know, certain restrictions, then yes. And for me, obviously the coach, you know, I used to do bodybuilding, so I'm stronger on the upper body, which is not a good technique. So they always try to make me focus on my legs. Other people, they try to do the back, the upper body. So yeah, the techniques change, but you can definitely depends on who you're rowing with and the person you are. But you know, you can definitely, within the bigger envelope, you can definitely find a technique that works best for you.
You mentioned rowing machine a lot. Is rowing machine a good representation of what it is like to actually row a boat?
For one aspect, yes. Another aspect, no. So we try to get people on the rowing machine to train because we want the fundamentals right. When you're on a boat, a lot of things are happening. So it depends on the boat. Sometimes you have to look where you're going because we face our back is to where we're heading. And the water. So if you've ever ridden a horse, you know, the horse has a mind of its own. The water has a mind of its own. So, you know, sometimes you have waves, sometimes you have perfect water. So it representative of how you move, but it doesn't cover all the aspects. But it's a good way for you to understand, you know, the basic movement that you would put in a rowing machine. So we always try to get people to do a lot of the initial training on the rowing machine, and then even I still do a lot of my training on the rowing machine because it's a lot more accessible too.
Mm. You mentioned water just now as a good element that you need to think of, right?
Yeah.
Do rowers build a relationship, or do they think more about the water or the boat that they're in? Do you build that kind of connection, like a relationship, like a very intimate relationship between either of these two things?
We do think about the water. In Putrajaya is very smooth most of the time. There are points where there's a lot of waves. I went to Singapore. The waves are foot high, and I was like, what are you doing? but we don't think it in that sense. It's just, you know, responding to the water and responding to the boat as well. So if you're doing professional, you could have a boat to yourself. But then when you're rowing casually, like I said, I'm a casual rower in one sense, you have to get used to different boats. And so in a sense, it's more focusing on you because, you know, what the water throws at you is like life. You know, whatever happens, you need to be able to adapt to it. So the only way you can adapt to it is by, you know, looking at your techniques, you know, what you can do to face what's coming.
That was Zamir Zulkifli, president of the KL Rowing Club, sharing some insights on rowing here in KL. We're going for a short break. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're listening to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and joining me this week to talk about rowing is Zamir Zulkifli. He's the president of KL Rowing Club, and they aim to make rowing, especially in KL, more accessible to the public. Earlier, Zamir has shared some valuable information about rowing as a sport, especially from a physical standpoint. Now, talking about rowing, I can't help but think of Dragon Boat Festival, an event that is culturally significant to us. Is there a difference between rowing a dragon boat compared to the boat Zamir and his peers are exposed to?
So we call ourselves, you know, Tin Chau boats. It's the racing boat, it's the Olympic boats. We think of ourselves as the rowers. It's funny, last weekend, someone on the dragon boat was calling themselves a rower, and then their team member said, no, we're paddlers. And that's emblematic of what dragon boat is. So you paddle a lot more, so you face where you're going, and you use a lot of your upper body. Rowing, in spite of what people think, we actually use a lot of our lower body. So a lot of the power comes from the legs, the upper body just finish it off. Even though people say rowers have a wide back, we're like, well, you know, it's not really. It's just a consequence of that. But that's, I think, the main difference between dragon boats and rowing. And I understand dragon boat is more culturally close to Malaysia. But, you know, we want to make rowing, you know, part of the Malaysian sports scene as well. So,
Do you think that rowing is accessible for now? Do you think that there is a perception that is tied to rowing? Maybe the fact that it can be seen as quite an elite sport?
It is true, not just in Malaysia. So I rowed obviously in the UK, and you know, coming from Oxford and Cambridge, even in the UK, rowing is seen as an elite sport simply because of the historical connection. the boat race is essentially just Oxford and Cambridge, even though it's in London. But I think British Rowing is trying to change that, and we want to change that in Malaysia too. We want to make it more accessible. I'm surprised at, you know, how there are a lot of rowers in Malaysia, definitely through universities, but we want to make it accessible for people that didn't row universities, that, you know, maybe thought about rowing in university but decided, you know what, maybe I'll do it later. So we want to make it more accessible. I want to build that, to tear down that perception that it is an elite sport. It's a different sport, sure. You know, it's not for everybody, but we want to make it, you know, accessible to a lot more people than it is now.
Okay, what are your plans to make it accessible here, especially in...
So one aspect is we started the rowing club. So the rowing scene before is mostly university-based. And when they graduate, they kind of just drop out. So we want to make a rowing club where, you know, you don't have to have rowed in university to be able to row. And then we also try to encourage more races. So there's a couple of races coming towards the end of this year. And we're trying to do an open house. So we realized that a lot of people want to try it first before they commit. So we want to do an open house. And, you know, people, if they're interested in rowing, come and join us. We'll take you in a big boat. Don't worry, there'll be people that know how to row there. So you won't end up in the water. And, you know, those are the things that we want to do. We also want to talk to schools about having a rowing program. Unfortunately, there are no rowing boats for primary school students. You know, they're a bit small. Secondary, you know, maybe towards the older age when you're slightly bigger. Yeah. So those are some of the initiatives that we're taking. I think Putrajaya Rowing Association has their own initiatives. And then the National Rowing Association also have their own initiatives trying to make the rowing sport more accessible to people.
I understand that KL Rowing Club used to be only accessible for people who know how to row, right? I mean, you call them masters, right?
Yeah, well, masters technically identify people who are older.
Okay.
So there's master category, master A, master B, master C, and that's under 22, I think. But yeah, when we were setting up the rowing club, the idea was we were trying to get people that know how to row. Unfortunately, there's not enough of them here. Mm-hmm. And then when we put our social media out, we get a lot of people asking about learn to row courses. So we do have a learn to row course. So now we're trying to expand. You know, we're trying to get more people interested in rowing that is not affiliated with university, to just, you know, if they want to do it, to come to us, and then we will help you kind of learn to row and then help you with the sport if you're interested. So yeah.
Okay, what is the most important thing a beginner has to understand about rowing, and how should we manage the expectation in this case?
I think what new rowers need to understand is it's hard at first. So rowing is not like dragon boat. I'm sure dragon boat is hard too, but, you know, in dragon boat, you can throw people in the boat and it's you know, the first day. The rowing boats are not statically stable. That means if you put it on the river without anybody holding it, it will just tend to, you know, go to one side and capsize. So you need to think a lot more about that. And that's the challenge when someone new comes. They feel like they're not going anywhere. So there's definitely, you know, a steep learning curve in rowing that you need to kind of think about. That's why I would learn to row is 6 weeks. And even then, you know, at the M6 weeks, you're not I guess, great, but you're good enough for us to be able to work on. So what we try to do with the 6 week rowing course is try to do the fundamentals. So if you're okay with that, then that's fine. It's definitely not I show up today and then show up a month later kind of sport. So you always need to build up your skill.
And it goes without saying that you need to know how to swim, right?
We have rowers that don't know how to swim. Here it's less of an issue because we wear life jackets. For the Olympic racing, you don't wear life jackets. So yes, you do need to know how to swim. We can definitely help you with that. But if you'd like to spend time in the water and, like, you know, to do stuff, other stuff in the water, definitely, you know, come and we will help you with trying to get you on the water. It's not really, I mean, you don't really need to know how to swim Olympic level. Just, you know, don't go under. So.
Okay, KL Rowing Club is based in Putrajaya.
Yes.
Why did you choose Putrajaya as your home base?
Unfortunately, we didn't choose. Putrajaya is the only place right now where people can row in the Klang Valley. People were telling me they used to row at the Batu Dam, I think, but it was closed due to, you know, reasons that were beyond our control. So now a lot of the clubs row in within the Klang Valley, Putrajaya. The facilities are there. So the Putrajaya Lake Club has the facilities, and there's the water is actually pretty smooth, and we have the distance. You need a couple of this a long distance to be able to row, you know, to get a good outing. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the water just now, and what are the environmental factors that you need to think about when it comes to rowing? Is weather a factor as well?
Weather is a factor. Here we don't see as much wind. Where I was rowing on the Cam in Cambridge, when there's a lot of wind, we do close the river down, so you're not allowed to row. Here is more of an issue, thunder. So you don't want to be in the middle of the lake when there's lightning and thunder, because you know you're sitting duck. Other than that, it's more heat, which is why we start early. But, you know, I've done races when it's like 1 p.m. and you just kind of deal with the heat. So, you know, for me, it's just you kind of deal with the heat. So it's more heat and then the safety issue.
KL Rowing Club has participated in some competitions before, right? You mentioned the competition in Moa.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you think that the Putrajaya Lake is enough as a training ground for you to practice before you start participating in competitions where you can't really know what's the, you know, condition and environment like?
Yes. So typical, you know, so for Moa was slightly different because it was a river. So it was somewhat challenging because there are currents that we weren't used to deal with. But because they use the bigger boats, there's actually someone that steers. So we don't have to do it ourselves. So that was fine. I think sometimes it's nice to have a challenge. Putrajaya Lake is good for the other races. So for Olympic, normal Olympic rowing is 2K straight. I think Putrajaya has that distance. I think maybe less than 2K. Otherwise, you know, it's just we have to maneuver a lot more than we used to. But Putrajaya's lake in that sense is fine. Maybe, you know, the only thing that's challenging for Putrajaya Lake is that, so I went to Singapore. We did the race in the Pandan Reservoir. They have waves. The more the afternoon got, the bigger the waves got. So if you're not used to that, you know, it's a challenge. But I think for the Rowing Federation, they try not to do it when there are waves. So I think a couple of races this week was cancelled because of the weather.
Is it important to recce, you know, the places that you're going to race in? Or is that something that you guys don't usually do?
We do typically when you go for race, they will give you, you know, a session the day before to just get used to the water. So, and to the course as well, because, you know, wind can make a difference, the waves can make a difference. So I think you do need to know where you're rowing. We didn't do that in Moa. We didn't have time, and then we were comfortable enough doing it. We came 7th out of 8th. So, you know, that just shows what happens when you don't look at the course you're doing. So, but yeah, it is important to know your course. So
you mentioned age being a factor just now. Is there like a specific cutoff age when it comes to rowing, or as long as you're still fit?
No, I think it's more the fitness. So that's why there's master category. So master is the age category. But if you're at a top fitness level, you can be good. So there's a New Zealand rower. I wouldn't call him old, but he is older. Mahe Drysdale. He's actually, you know, he's rowed a lot for a while, and he's, you know, he's still rowing with the open category and he's still winning. So, you know, it's you know, if you don't do it regularly, if you don't have the stamina, you do tend to lose to the younger rowers. So which is why they have, you know, Master A, Master B, Master C, and then the under 22, something like that.
What's the age breakdown of the Master A, B, and C?
Don't quote me on this. I think 28 and below, that's one category, and then Master A is 28 to 30 something, and then 40 something is maybe Master B, and then Master C. I've seen people row when they're 60s. You know, they may not have the power, but you know, they can still row faster than I can. So so I think age is not an issue. I think fitness is an issue. I think it's just more how much dedication you're willing to put in to rowing.
And the key is consistency, right? So consistency in not only just keeping yourself fit, but also rowing.
Yes, yeah. Because rowing is definitely a technique-heavy sport. I think it's like cycling too. You know, you kind of have to pick up how to, you know, balance yourself on the bicycle. But it's a lot more because a lot of other components are involved in rowing. And then obviously, you know, cycling, you cycle by yourself. But when you're rowing with other people, you also have to be able to adjust yourself. So yeah, it's definitely technique heavy. So it's definitely not That's why I say if it's casual, you have to get to a certain point where you can become casual. But before that, you need to be able to kind of do consistent rowing to get to that point. It's not show today and then, you know, a year later show up and then be able to do it. No.
Okay. So. And apart from investing your time and energy, do you have to also invest in equipments and things like that?
No, if you're not planning to do professional level rowing, no, we have all the equipment. The club is trying to get enough. So we will try to do fundraising, trying to get our own equipment. But regardless, right now we are renting the equipment from Putrajaya Rowing Association. So they have a lot of the equipment. So it's just a matter of like, you know, showing up, we pay. If you're not a member, you pay 30 ringgit per session. 3-hour session, nobody ever actually does 3 hours because of the heat. But yeah, so you know, you don't have to do that. We will provide you with the life jacket and the boats and the oars. Maybe you need, you know, you want to have appropriate clothing because you can't have loose clothing because it will get caught in the equipment. But that's essentially it.
So as a rower, what are the values that you have taken away from the sport?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question. So I never did team sports. So I think one, when I rode at Homerton College in Cambridge, what I got was the teamwork and the fact that, you know, you need to give 100%. So, you know, when you're in a crew of 8 other people, including the cocks, not waking up at 5:30 a.m. for 6:30 outing is not an option. So in that kind of sense, you have to dedicate yourself. I think the teamwork spirit and the ability to dedicate yourself to the sport, and also the ability to kind of like want to push yourself. So when you do the smaller boats, coming in Malaysia, we do smaller boats. When you're a single boat, it's just you. You know, you can't hide from what bad things you do in the boat. So you just need to be able to, you know, what can I do to improve yourself? And I think that's the nice thing about rowing. You have to kind of, you know, and I think it's be passionate about it. I think that's true for any sport. You need to be passionate about it and just find a way to always improve yourself.
All right. For people out there who are interested to give it a try and would like to get in touch with KL Rowing Club, how can they do that and what do they need to expect?
We are on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. So look for us there. There's contact information there. I can't remember the email off the top of my head, but you know, I think everybody has Facebook and/or Instagram. So look for us, KL Rowing Club. Just send us a message through that, you know, those two. We will get back to you very quickly. Our secretary, Rochelle, is actually very good at, you know, responding. What to expect? So if you've never rowed before, you need to expect that we would require you to do learn to row courses. Row courses would just give you the fundamentals so that we can take you in a double or in a quad with, you know, three or one other people. So have the expectation. The learn to row is 6 weeks. So you need to invest at least 6 weeks worth of training to do that. We were also thinking about doing an open house, like I mentioned before, where people can just show up and then get in the boat, have the experience. And hopefully, you want to do it. So, but add us on Instagram and Facebook to find out more when that'll be. It won't be anytime soon. It'll probably be in October. Just talk to us. We're more than happy to let you know how if you're interested in rowing, how we can help you with that.
Is there a fee involved to be a member of the club?
Yes. So if you want to be a full-time member, is 1,000 per year. But if you just want to do regularly, is 30 ringgit per session. Like I said, 3-hour session. Nobody actually does that 3-hour. The learn to row course, I need to get back to you on that. I think it's around, if I'm not mistaken, it's around 400 to 500 for 6 session. That's for the whole 6 session. But then you'll have a dedicated coach. It's a 1-to-1 session that will, you know, they'll help you get the fundamentals. So it's not just like, you know, we'll put you in a boat. So there will be someone there in the boat next to you, helping you get all the fundamentals ready. So there is a bit of cost, but I think that's, you know, 30 ringgit per outing is not too much.
The You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we're joined by Zamir Zulkifli, the president of KL Rowing Club. Check out their social media platforms to find out more about their activities. And that's all we have for this week's episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also available on Spotify. And as usual, don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.